If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hey everybody, it's Diane, and today we're going to talk about fear. The Someone Gets Me podcast, you know, is for those of you who are sensitive and visionaries and really smart, and fear can plague you. Now, there's a couple big fears that really can steal your joy, that get in the way of work. If you own a business, they really mess it up. And more importantly, they make your life unsettled and not so happy. So today I thought I would share a little bit about fear, what it really means, where it comes from, and ways you can not have it steal your joy and steal your productivity. So fear is a very misunderstood emotion. It's more than just an emotion. It can be a consciousness or a way of living. So you can have fear that is impacting your life and influencing things that may or may not be an actual emotion or feeling of fear. So that's the first place a lot of people get confused when I say, well, you know, this kind of thing you're doing that is from fear, they go, but I'm not afraid. And being afraid and having fear as an underlying issue are a little bit different. And I hope I can kind of clear it up a little bit and help you see how you can actually use fear in your favor instead of having it hold you back. So there are two big fears that can steal your joy. These are also the two fears that will influence your business in a negative way, and might we say, cause a situation where your power or authority could be misused or even abused by some people. And there's two of them, two big ones, two big groups, if you will. The first big group of fear that steals your joy and your productivity is the fear of losing what you have. What you have could be power, it could be influence, it could be things like a house or a car or a position or a title. And when your limited thinking ego thinks it's going to lose something or is afraid of losing something, that fear can run you amok. So it makes people who are afraid of losing what they have grab onto things, take things from people, try to extort information or money, treat people badly because they want to retain their power. And ultimately what that fear does is it undermines that person's integrity, it undermines their honesty, it undermines everything of who they are, and pretty soon they are acting and speaking and thinking so far out of alignment with who they really are that when they come out of it, typically there's a lot of grief and a lot of guilt because they realize the damage they did because they were acting from a fear place, which means a lack type of place that says, if I lose what I have, then I'm nothing. Now, it may not be conscious in those words in their head, and it could be those exact words in their head. But what happens is it's the idea that if I don't have my stuff or my power or my position, then I'm nothing. And that is simply not the case. Yet that fear will really plague some people. So that's the big fear. That's the first one. That can steal your joy. It also steals your position and your ability to run a business or be a member of a team because the fear makes things very agitated and angry and staticky, and you become difficult to be around. And sometimes you may not even know why, but that's the reason. Now, the second big fear that can steal your joy and mess up your productivity is the fear of not getting what you want. That's right. The fear of not getting what you want. Now, we all have goals and we all have visions, and there's things we want in life. Everything from peace and happiness and love and kindness to money and position and house or a car or a thing. So we all have wants, When somebody's afraid that they're not going to get what they want, here can come that ugly fear again, rising up and creating a big mess in that person's life. I know some people that I've worked with in the past that have had this issue where they're afraid of not getting what they want. And in these cases in business, it was more like prestige and power and authority. Whenever that fear would come to the surface, these people would act kind of mean to everybody. And it seemed out of character because it was out of character. That wasn't who they always were. It only was that way when they were afraid of losing. And so that fear ended up, in one person's case, actually making it so they lost some of their good friends because it's very hard to be around that. And so the fear of not getting what you want is equally as detrimental as a fear of losing what you have. Now, the common denominator of these two fears is that they're very self-centered. It implies that the person who is experiencing these thinks the world revolves around them. And it's the greatest cause of self-sabotage, that fear that I'm not going to get what I want or I'm losing what I have and the world revolves around me. And so because it's not going my way or it doesn't seem like it is, then I blow it up. I sabotage whatever it is. And so these fears can really wreak havoc on your professional life and your relationships. And they can really cause trouble when it comes down to just feeling good about yourself too. They steal all of your joy. Now, there's three ways that you look when you're experiencing any of these fears if you're not dealing with them in a healthy manner, which I'm going to talk about here shortly. The three kinds of expressions of the fears that don't look so great, I would say they're unhealthy, is flight or fight or freeze. Now, I'm certain most of you have heard about the fight or flight syndrome, and that's when our body runs and hides or it fights when it's afraid. And that is true. That's our biology. That's what our brains do. Now, there's a third component that is being talked about more recently than historically. It's always been there, but I think people are just now associating it. And that's called the freeze. Now, that would be, you know, when there's so many things going on in your life and you're so overwhelmed and maybe you're procrastinated or anxious or overwhelmed simply and you can't open the mail or you don't do some of the things you know you need to do. That's freeze. Some people freeze with panic attacks and difficulty even moving. Agoraphobia, that's a form of freeze. Completely shutting down and not doing anything you're supposed to be doing when no one's looking. That's a form of freeze. I have a client who I've been working with for a while who owns a company that has multiple locations. It's a very successful company. He is the owner and he has, you know, a business team around him and lots of managers and things. It's quite large. And he struggles with this freeze response, something fierce. Whenever he gets overwhelmed and fear creeps in, and sometimes it creeps in with losing what I have because he doesn't want to lose percentage of business in his industry because he feels this overwhelming need or push to support all the people that work for him. He takes it personally, like he is personally responsible for all of these people's welfare. And what if he loses, you know, in the business, and then how will he take care of them? And so that crippling fear is self-centered in the sense that it's still about him. But it's not just about his gain. So do you see how self-centered fear can expand out? And it might be about you, but it's not only about you. So he freezes a lot. He brought in this big trash bag, and it was full of mail that he hadn't opened in months. Some of it was important, like things from the IRS and bills and important things, and some of it was junk. But he was so full of fear of not being able to take care of his people. And he was moving so fast and he was so overwhelmed and he was so far off of taking care of himself that he was freezing. And for the several months before he saw me, he hadn't opened any mail. So after seeing me for a few weeks and he finally disclosed this, I said, bring in the mail. I'll help you go through it and help thaw out that freeze and help you kind of disperse that fear energy that says you're going to lose what you have. Because the reality is, you're not going to lose what you have. It's all okay. There's really been no change in the business. It was a fear that came from a belief system of being hyper responsible for others. So as we worked through the belief systems and we took care of the fear and I helped him go through some of his mail and we got things to a manageable place, he is now still dealing with some of the freeze and having a little bit of flight going on with the fear, but it certainly is a lot better and he can take action. The self-sabotage he was experiencing in his business has pretty much stopped. There's very little evidence of it, at least right now. And what we're also noticing for him is that that whole fear of not getting what he wants is a secondary issue to the losing what he has. And so he's clear on what fear it is, and he's clear on what to do now. And I think he's a lot better at expressing it and taking action anyway. That freeze response really gets people who are bright and intelligent and visionaries and doing well and moving forward. And sometimes it's that moving forward and moving very fast that gifted people do that can really make them susceptible to this freeze part of fear expression. And I think that it's under evaluated in our world, and I don't think people realize the power of it. I know I personally have felt this freeze piece of fear when I've been working on big projects that maybe took a lot of my energy and I was depleted. And then all these other things were going on. And I realized after the fact that I had this thought in my head, this belief that what if I couldn't do it? What if I couldn't do it? What if I couldn't do it? And it froze me. And the what if I couldn't do it was a fear. It was a fear combination of not getting what I wanted, but also losing what I had because what if I couldn't do it? And the moment I changed my self-talk and I healed that belief system, freeze hasn't plagued me like it used to. But it's a very big consideration for people who are bright and gifted and sensitive because of expectations. And sometimes people just don't realize fear shows up in very interesting ways. Fear has a very good function. It has a purpose. It's meant to be used for that purpose. The fight and flight and freeze are not the most functional ways to really take care of the fear. Here is what the fear is telling you to do. It's function, okay? It's not its dictionary definition. The function of fear means to get ready. That means to prepare yourself for whatever it is. If you're afraid because you have to do a public speaking thing and you have to do a talk and there's fear going on, those are the butterflies in the stomach, or maybe that thought that says, oh no, what if I mess it up? That's fear. So what do? The fear is telling you what? Get ready, prepare your talk, practice it, think about what you want to say, decide how you want to do notes, maybe talk to some other people who have done it if you're new at it, whatever. Take care of getting ready, whatever that is. I do a lot of public speaking, and when I get those little butterflies, the first thing I do is call them excitement, and then I get ready. I do what I need to do. Oddly enough, what matters a lot for me in getting ready is making sure that I'm very comfortable in the clothes I choose to wear. I did a talk one time, and I looked pretty on the outside, but the fabric was harsh, kind of itchy on my skin, and the entire time I was uncomfortable. And many times I had a hard time keeping my train of thought. Now, that's not the feedback I got from the audience. They loved the talk. My internal world was very, very challenged in that particular talk. So now part of my getting ready is I wear what I'm going to wear for the talk before the talk for twice as long as the talk is, at least for half of a day or something, to make sure that I am comfortable in it, moving around, walking, sitting, doing everything I would do during whatever the presentation is so that I am ready. It takes away the fear of not being prepared. So fear tells you to simply get ready. That's all. So if you've done all the work you need to get ready for whatever the thing is, then any residual fear energy is just hanging out there and you are perfectly able to put it in its place. So there is an antidote. In other words, there is a way to handle fear, address fear, so that it does not necessarily impact you in a negative way or haunt you all the time. Because fear and love are the two big motivators. Love being the divine love, the love of the world, and you are the love. And fear being some kind of separation or disconnection from that greater source, that greater love, if you will. And so the best antidote for fear is not love necessarily. And a lot of people think, well, if it's fear and love, and those are the two things, then it must be love. Well, no, it's not. The antidote for fear is to have faith. Now, faith is not religious. Faith means that I have a trust in the process. I learn that I can trust the unfoldment of my life. I can trust how things work. I can trust myself. And the process of things works in my favor. That's what faith is. And so when I have that trust in the process and I have that trust in the unfoldment of my own life, then that faith puts fear away. It tells the fear to go away because there's no room for fear when you have faith. And so things move a lot slower, a lot more peacefully, a lot nicer when that faith is taking the forefront. So I kind of imagine it like faith is driving the bus and fear is in the back seat watching a DVD, and every once in a while we'll show up and say something and say, are we there yet or whatever. But faith is really the one in charge. So when you trust the process, you're having faith. In fact, I just spoke to an old client of mine just shortly ago, and we were talking about that whole idea of trusting the process. And he said, you know, when you first taught me to trust the process, I didn't know what that meant. I heard the words. I understood what you were saying, but I didn't understand it, and now I do. And that's actually trusting the process. There's a lot of things we don't understand in the very beginning. And there's sometimes where you might be feeling fear and you have no idea where it came from or why it's there. And there's nothing immediately obvious that should be scaring you or bringing these fear feelings up. And what a normal rational person will do will be trying to figure it out. I'm suggesting that instead of figuring, you stop when that feeling shows up and you notice it and go, huh, that's interesting. That's interesting energy. Wow, where did that come from? And you'll notice it probably came from a thought or a belief that was just hanging out and doesn't really have a whole lot of power anymore. So that is the value in remembering that this fear is all about just being ready and trusting the process. I'm working on a book right now, and every once in a while, these kind of flutters of fear go through me, like, what if I don't get it done? What if it's not good? What if what I think makes sense doesn't make sense? All of those are fear-based little doubts and worries that are irrelevant. The best thing for me to do is what? Have faith and trust the process and get ready. Do my homework, follow the directions I know of how to write a book and do the right things, and make sure that I'm prepared and I'm ready to do the right thing. And as long as I'm doing that, then fear can take the back seat. And that's how fear cannot steal my joy. So the two big fears that steal your joy are losing, the fear of losing what you have and the fear of not getting what you want. Those are big, and they show self-centeredness, meaning that in some way, on some level, you're putting yourself at the center of the outcome and the challenge. And most likely that's not the case. So we want to really look at having a little bit more faith and having a little bit more trust in the process of life. Now, in a business sense, in a work sense, this is very important because a lot of people at work and a lot of people who own their own businesses let these self-centered fears actually sabotage their business. I have a friend of mine who is a brilliant artist. Oh my God, you would love her stuff. And she is amazing. And so she wanted to help make her art her business instead of just a hobby. And so I said I would help her. And we started going down that road. And sure enough, the fear started up so much that she has a hard time even addressing it or talking about it anymore. In fact, she went back to being a waitress, and then she decided to go do something else, and then she's doing something else. I just hope that she's still doing her art, because the art is really her calling. And it's that fear of not getting what she wants, enough customers, enough money, whatever. It's the fear of losing what she has that keeps her from really fully realizing her beautiful, beautiful dream. She's amazing. So these fears can steal your joy. They can try to steal your work, and they can get in the way of your relationships. So my suggestion would be, if you can relate to any of these, instead of running or instead of fighting or instead of doing nothing, get ready, prepare yourself, and realize that all the fear is telling you to do is get ready and be prepared. And as you are ready and prepared, the fear will take the back seat. And you won't have to sabotage yourself, and you won't have to suffer anymore. So I hope that this information was helpful, and you can take it and use it for your best good, so that you, as a bright and talented person, you as somebody who maybe is misunderstood by some because they don't get how sensitive you are, that you can use these in your favor so fear doesn't freeze you and it doesn't harm you or hold you back. That's my wish for you. So until the next episode comes around and you get to hear whatever neat thing comes up, know that you're perfectly equipped and you are wonderful exactly the way you are. There's nothing to fix and there's nothing wrong with you. You are perfect and wonderful. I know it because you're alive and you're listening. So hit me up with an email if you'd like to, or if you have any questions, email me. My email is in the show notes, and I will be glad to answer them. Don't forget our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. I'll talk to you soon. And in the meantime, keep your face toward the sun so the shadows stay behind you.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.